give this to Jesus. I can't deal with y'all. Best decision I ever made in my life, by the way. So we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to get away from saying the Holy Spirit because we don't ever say, well, I've been talking about the Jesus, you know, or the God, which I get the, but it's just out of habit. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and I just want to recap a little bit from last week to catch us up. I kind of did an overview. This week is a little more of an overview. I'm not getting into the depth of it because the Word tells us to teach it line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. You just have to kind of take this a little at a time. But most of us get the God-Jesus connection, but we really don't get the Holy Spirit connection. I want to show you Scripture. Again, this is out of Genesis. We actually covered this other than these words last week a little bit. In the beginning, God, Elohim, we've heard that word, created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep of the water. Notice this is the very beginning, by the way. And the Spirit, Ruach, of God, Elohim, was hovering over the surface of the earth. What I want you to understand about that word Elohim, it's a plural intensive, I don't want to do an English lesson, but it's a plural intensive with a singular meaning. In other words, I used the example last week, and it's a great example. I'm the Van Zant. Van Zant, it would be the Elohim. All right, Steve Gay, Charity, Leah, who's now in heaven, and all the other Van Zants are part of that Elohim. Do you get that? So when this says the Ruach of the Godhead, again, it's a plural intensive with a singular meaning. So this is where we get the understanding of Trinity, where we talk about the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the word Elohim is. You get it. So and I want to reiterate what the Holy Spirit, this word Ruach, means is. It means the wind or breath, the energy of life. In fact, it's manifested in the Shekinah, you've heard probably the word Shekinah, glory of God. That would be just the very presence of God. That's where this Ruach is, at least from my days. I believe in the New Testament, most of us are used to, at least from my days, the King James Version of the Bible. They interchanged. You've heard it say the Holy Ghost, right? And you've heard Holy Spirit. They, for whatever reason, just interchanged the word pneuma and just would use that word. I want to show you an example. This is, again, the King James Version, Matthew 1:18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy, and again, they put ghost, which is the word pneuma. King James Version. The next verse, which is also in Matthew, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened up unto him, and he saw the Spirit, pneuma. So one place, the translators use the word ghost, and in one place they use the word pneuma, descending like a dove and lighting upon him. I think the reason, and again, this is common sense to me, I think the reason why they didn't call him ghost there is because they didn't want to call him the ghost of God. Do you get it? So if you just, and again, in the original language, it's the one word pneuma, which means, again, like the word in Hebrew for ruach, the word pneuma is the Greek translation, and it's the breath or the breeze. It's a source of power. It incorporates affection and emotion and desire. It has this giving spirit. It's the divine nature of Christ, and equal, if you will, with God. So, again, parts of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, and the truth is, He is part of God. He is God. And that's hard for us to really grasp because we kind of get it, but we kind of don't. So, I want to show you where Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, and I just want to walk through that a little bit today, and then I'll leave you alone. Cowboys already lost, so we don't have to worry about them now. Pitchers, catchers, February 15th when they show up for the Rangers, so we can go to the next sport unless you want to do the Mavs. Who? Stars. Are the Stars doing well? I don't really pay attention to hockey too much unless they win, and then, of course, I was their greatest fan. Isn't that how we all are, really? So I'm totally off point. Here we go. So this is Jesus speaking. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Parakletos is the word. It looks like a parakeet, but it's not. Parakletos. And I'm going to give you this advocate who will never leave you. See, Jesus had to leave, guys. He had to physically leave. So God is so cool and loves us so much. He had a plan beyond Jesus walking this earth. So he says, and he's going to never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. And the world can't receive him because it's not looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because, look at this, he lives with you, the word is para, and you now, he lives with you now and later will be in you. That word with means is beside or whatever. I'm stopped right there. So Jesus, this is true. Jesus knew we couldn't make it on our own. So he promised us, them, something never promised before, Holy Spirit. And again, parakletos. It literally means called alongside to help. I love this word because it does mean comforter. You'll see it in other versions. They'll say, and the comforter, even in songs, the comforter is going. Just, what is a comforter? It's a quilt. Be honest, but what does a quilt do? It covers you. Have you ever been watch a scary movie and you use the quilt? Or you're cold? Or you're insecure? Or you're Linus? He's just, yeah, he was just insecure, right? Realize, you remember, you heard me teach this last Christmas, not this one, but the one before. The only time he dropped the quilt was when he proclaimed, the angel said the Christ had come. So I just love that. He comforts us. This word parakletos, and again, there's this full meaning rather than just us handpicking the meaning of the word. It also means to lead into deeper knowledge of the gospel truth. I just think it's funny because it's the gospel, the great news of Jesus. So that's why he's come. And then, and you heard me teach this a lot, but it's so true, that word advocate, he's a counsel for defense. He's our defense attorney. Because Hasatan, which would be the name Satan, literally name means accuser. That's who he is. The word says God is love. The word says Satan is an accuser. That's all he does. He accuses. You can even see it in Scripture where he's always constantly going up to heaven and trying to accuse and all this. So, bottom line is, Jesus was saying, I'm sending someone who will do for you all the things that I've been doing for you. And remember last week we talked about Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit in the disciples after he rose. Remember we talked about that? He breathed in there. But here's what I want you to see, and I'll get more into this next week. So that's when they received the Holy Spirit then. But watch, but power came later, and it was a separate infilling. And we've had such interesting teaching on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I want to be so clear and honest and open with you about it. Number one thing I do want to say is, if you have teaching, there's denominations out there that will tell you that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not blah, blah, blah. It's amazing to me that these denominations proclaim the wanting the whole counsel of God, yet at random can just pick out and take away the word. Just because someone hasn't spoken in tongues doesn't give them the right. Do you hear what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to blast the denomination. What I'm saying is, dude, if you're going to walk in this, let's walk in it. Listen, I firmly believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I am filled with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. As the Apostle Paul said, I probably speak in tongues more than all, but it's not to get it. And so we've got me better me. You get it? And so we've got to start believing. Remember, I tell you all the time, when we start believing right, we start living right. So, so we receive the Holy Spirit then, but that power came in a separate thing. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is just as life-changing as salvation. It really is. In fact, his baptism, the Holy Spirit baptism, doesn't, again, I said this a while ago, doesn't make me better than others. It makes me a better me. And I promise you, You'll know when people are filled with the Holy Spirit, because it's the power. That's where the power comes. We don't have the strength in our own. And I'm not going to sit here and argue about the speaking in tongues stuff. And man, I was raised in a denomination that was the ultimate goal. Once you spoke in tongues, buddy, you had reached the top. You could beat your wife up, but bless God, you could chicken my side. Do you hear what I'm saying? And I'm telling you, it's time for us to understand He lives in us, and He wants to overwhelm us like that. Well, this bad, and people always ask me, well, how? It's not about how. There's going to be a time when you're with Jesus, Holy Spirit Jesus, because Jesus said, I'm going to be in you, so you can call Holy Spirit Jesus all you want. That's fine. He don't mind. Doesn't hurt his feelings. I mean, my middle name's Eugene. I suppose you could call me Eugene. I wouldn't like you, but I'd still look and say, yeah, that's me, Stephen Eugene. But there'll be a time where you're in this intense conversation and you just kind of run out of words. And, man, I've used this illustration before. I got to use it again. When I was in Oklahoma, I was trying to help some people understand this, because we had been raised, again, in that whole Pentecostal, whatever you want to call it. Man, it drives me nuts. Yes, the labels. Without the power, and I mean, when I was a child, I saw a guy that would speak in tongues, and I used that as an example about beating his wife, because one time she came in with a black eye, you know? And so Steve Enzant, being a child, I'm not an adult that just wants to let the white elephant be in the room. I'm asking my mother, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to beat her up, what is this? You know, he's speaking in tongues, and you know, my poor mom, she didn't know what to say to me, because she's a mom. And anyway, but we were in Oklahoma, and I had done this teaching, and this old country boy, he actually worked at Walmart, man. And he's like, I just, you know, because I've been there, and people pray over me, and some saying to hold on, and some are saying to let loose, and, you know, something. You know what I'm saying? He was just totally confused, because we have created the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit lives in you. It's not a battle. It's not a, what am I supposed to say, you know? You can bah-bah black sheep. I don't care. The bottom line is you're going to be in a deep conversation with him at one point. Whew. And you're going to recognize the goodness of him. See, because it's his goodness. Do you not understand when Peter had the vision and he had to go see Cornelius, who was just an old Italian pizza maker guy, and they had certainly didn't deserve the Holy Spirit, much less salvation. And he goes and talks to him. And the Bible says that while he was telling them about the goodness of Jesus, they began to speak in other tongues. Holy smoke. You know why? Because they were talking about the goodness of Jesus. There'll be a day where you're alone with God and you might be in a desperate situation where you run out of words. And all of a sudden, this thing's going to start coming up. And so I'm in my office, and I had shared all this with this guy privately, and I told him, man, you don't got to have people leaning on you, praying on you. You don't got to tarry. You don't got to hurt. You don't... Stop! There's no formula to this. It's a relationship, man. So I get a phone call. It's about 10 after 12 noon. And on the other end is this guy from Walmart. And I'm like, Jim?
I went to lunch and I was...
That's the experience. He went to lunch and he was hungry for more than his sandwich that his wife had made. She made for him every day. And he began to flow like a river, because he was hungry for something more in life. And let me tell you something, when that occurs, your life does change, and everybody around you changes. All of a sudden, they become good people. When they're really not good people, it's because of the change that's in you. You get it? It's amazing. It's everything that I've talked about. Well, back in the day when I used to take Easter and preach on Joe's Bar and Grill, well, I've changed it. I've actually wrote a chapter in a book now called Bubba's Beer and Barbecue. You know, I changed the name because it's more Texan. But bottom line is, when we imbibe in him, something changes in us. It's when you're sober and you go in and see that really ugly girl. I've told you this before. You see that really ugly girl and you're like, oh, God. After about 3 beers, she ain't looking so bad. After about 6 beers, you're over there asking for a number. You get it. Why? What changed? You were under the influence of a spirit, just not the spirit. Same thing happens. When you are that power that comes from him, when you're baptized into him, it's powerful. He's powerful. So I'm sorry if you got Baptist roots or whatever. There's more to life than just our ticket to heaven. And the power source is in us, guys. He is in us. He is in me. So all you got to do is say, you know, this whole speaking tongue thing is weird. You got anything to say? You want to say something to me? You got 7 minutes? Anyway, let me stay right here. Put up that little thing I wrote. Quote from Steve Van Zandt, purpose of salvation is to transform the non-believer. Purpose of baptism in the Holy Spirit is to transform the believer. Sometimes we never get there because we get hung up on the speaking in other tongues thing. And it goes both ways. You've heard me use the example. If your transmission doesn't work, I don't care how full your gas tank is. You can shun-da-da-da-bun-da-da-da-bun-da-da-da. You ain't going nowhere if the transmission ain't working. You get it. Your foundation has to be solid. What do you mean foundation? I mean the foundation that you believe with all your heart and all your mind. What Christ did on the cross for you means it. That as far as the east is from the west, your sins are forgiven. That everything that was taken on the cross concerning you was taken on the cross concerning you. And now you're viewed like you're Jesus instead of you're viewed by your ugly. It's true. I'll say it again. I've said it a billion times. I'll say it till I'm dead. So some of y'all maybe hope I die soon. When God looks at the cross, he sees your ugly self. But when he looks at you, he sees Jesus. That ain't right, but it's true. And let me tell you something. You get in the privacy of your own room and start chewing on that for a while and see if something doesn't start happening in you. And like I said, I don't care if it's Bob, black sheep. You know, we used to all, you know, see my tie, see me retie my tie, see me retie my bow tie, you know. I mean, we used to mock it, man, when I was a child. And then people were like, oh, you just committed the unpardonable sin. You stop. There is a place in him, in that closet. I mean, yes, now the upper room was publicly. And a couple other times it was publicly where the guy was talking to a handful of people and they were filled with spirit. But man, there is a place in your closet where something will flow out of you and you'll be making a phone call. Oh, no, no, no. That was the most powerful phone call I've ever had in my life from a guy who didn't deserve it. I mean, come on, he worked at Walmart. And I'm like, Jim. Okay, what time you got to be back at work? He just wanted me to know. And notice he didn't have to say an English word to let me know. Okay, call me crazy. I don't care. I promise you it's the Holy Spirit in me that makes me kind to you. I promise you, man. If I hadn't allowed that power, dunamis is the word. Where we get the word dynamite from, that dunamis power. Sorry, I got a little off point. So here's what I want you to see. After Acts chapter 2 happened, after the Holy Spirit came down, we all know that story, and filled the room, and Peter stood up and said, well, we're not drunk as you suppose, but this is that the prophet Joel said. He completed his sermon with this. Peter replied, each of you must repent. Y'all that have been here long enough, metanoia. Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized, baptizo, in the name of Jesus. That's how, by the way, isn't that cool how Jesus' name is spelled in Greek, if you want to know? Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. Then, after you've been repented, after you've changed your mind concerning Jesus, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I that word the doesn't need to be there. And I'm talking about in the original language. It's in all scriptures they do this. But we could easily say, and probably should say, then you will receive Holy Spirit, gift of Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your kids and even to us Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God. I took this and I vetted this scripture out. Again, anytime there's a word in the New Testament is talking about repent, it's the word metanoia, either in the verb form, noun form, adjective form, or whatever form. I don't want to go into long dissertation. Just here's how it should have read in Steve Van Zandt's vetted book. Here it is. Peter replied, each of you must change your mind for the better by honestly admitting you are guilty as charged of breaking God's law. This will put you in the right mindset to accept God's mercy and grace. Then you must be immersed, bathed, and wrapped up in salvation, sozo. That is total wholeness. That is in the person of Jesus, who will deliver you from the abuse of the enemies of your life and those in your mind. This baptism will permanently change you. Now watch. Once you're released from your prison of wrong thinking, forgiveness arrives, and you will view your sins as if you had never committed them, and the penalty of wrongdoing will no longer torture your mind. Then you will obtain the gift of the power of the one who's already been given to you, Holy Spirit. And he will guide you into all truth concerning Jesus and protect your mind from the accusations of the evil one. And then I finished it with what was the leftover. This promise is to you and to your kids and to you Gentiles. Do you see what I'm saying? Until we firmly repent, metanoia, until we firmly change our mind concerning what Christ has done for us on the cross, we will never get to the power source. You hear me? We'll never get there. So all these times where they're teaching, and the Word says, as he was telling them about Christ and his what he did on the cross, people were beginning to be filled with this baptism of the Holy Spirit, tongues of fire, and we all know that. And again, next week I'm going to go heavy duty into that so that you understand, because when we hear the word Pentecost, the first word we think of is what? Speaking in tongues. Dude, Pentecost has been around long before this Pentecost. It just happened to be on the same day of Pentecost. Pentecost is 50 days after the atonement. So anyway, that's a whole different thing. It's just cool how God is. God chose that day on purpose, you know. He didn't just accidentally pick the day of Pentecost for that they've been celebrating for all these years. That's next week. So unless you dig through it yourself this week, and then you won't even have to come next week. How's that? So then we get to, I want to go just to that verse 16. Where it says the Holy Spirit will never leave you. Holy Spirit will never leave you. He will never leave you. You might tuck him away somewhere as you're doing something stupid, but he won't leave you. Grab the power of that. When you think you're sneaking around, he doesn't leave. Might get quiet. He doesn't leave. He loves you that much. He's a good parent. He's like a good parent. Come on, guys. Our kids do dumb stuff all the time. Do we just go, I don't love you? I just read a great meme this week, and I should probably share it now. Every single person that you look into their eyes, every single person that you look into their eyes, God loves. Wow. That ain't right.
Well, then I just won't look them in the eye. I'll just look down.
Well, you look down because you've been talking about him. That's why you do that anyway, right? That's why there's not a whole lot of eye contact anymore. You know, back in the day, we didn't hide behind a computer. Back in the day, we just fist fought.
Oh, man.
Not me. I was a sissy. I didn't do that. So watch this. Holy Spirit is not indecisive in his commitment to us. He's not just with us when we feel spiritual. And we have taught that for years. Holy Spirit, come. He's here. You don't have to come. He's here. He's in you. You don't have to beg him. He's here. Man, yes, throw those songs out. There's older ones than that. If you want me to hit some older ones, you know, hold the fort till Jesus comes. Really? Okay. You know, just hang on by the skin of your teeth. No, man, I'm going to shout it. Need no fort. I had to be careful how I talk. You know, you can be Southern and it sound wrong, and then you're in trouble, and your wife's burning up. I can feel it, the heat. So he's not just with us when we feel spiritual, or he's not just with us when we're at our best. He's not just with us when we're on our knees or praying however we pray. He abides in me, and I can count on him. Verse 26 of that same block that we were reading, I just dropped down to 26, says this. But when the Father sends the advocate, the defense attorney, the parakletos, when he sends him, and he's done it already, as my representative, this is Jesus speaking, that is the Holy Spirit. He wanted you to know who I am. It's Holy Spirit I'm sending. He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. He will not remind you of your former past. He will not remind you how terrible you are. He will remind you of the greatness of Jesus, and he will over and over and over, and he will be your defense attorney when the enemy comes in and tries to act like he's God. How many times has the enemy come in to talk to people and everybody thinks it's God and it's not him, it's not God at all? You know, well, God told me I was a horrible... No, he did not. No, he did not. If he did, well, then Jesus didn't do anything on the cross for us. That was just a whole joke. It's a joke. So, I'm at my conclusion. Y'all should be extremely happy. Wait, not yet. Man, you really want to get out of here. She's like, go, man, boom, I got to... The most prominent thing in Scripture said about Holy Spirit, this is important, is that he's holy. Can you say that? Holy Spirit is holy. Say that. Holy Spirit is holy. I am not. Where does he live? In me. What did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be out of you, literally, and your life will fall right into place. No more, there's no fretting when your life's going to fall into place. When you seek him first and his righteousness. And again, how many times do you have to read in Scripture? When Christ did what he did on the cross, God declares us righteous. Not because of what we did, because we can't do it, but because of what Jesus did. I'm in a roll for a second. Adam screwed up bad. Made me mad until I recognized that I would do the same. There's nothing I can do to stop the fact that because of Adam, I am stuck in a sinful nature. Jesus, because of nothing that I have ever done, took all my junk on the cross, and now I am stuck in righteousness, and there is nothing that I can do to get out of it. So quit being the little squirrel, back and forth from sinful nature to righteousness, sinful nature. The Apostle Paul talked about it in chapter 7 of Romans, remember? The things that I don't want to do, I'm doing. The things that I'm doing, I don't want to do, wretched man that I am. But then he said what? Thank God! There's no condemnation for those who are in there in Christ. Woo! I'm in him. And he's in me. We got that a while ago. So, that wasn't in here, sorry. He's referred to in Scripture as the Spirit of holiness. He comes in and separates us from the spirit of the world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. And when all the church members started getting mad at Paul because he wouldn't hammer sin, he said, look, if I'm going to do that, if I'm going to try to get you to get out of sin and stay away from sin, denominations were built on that, where you had to be you separate, which means you separated everything. You wore ugly clothing. You didn't put makeup on, so you were ugly. Okay. But you get what I'm saying. Paul said it. He said, if we're going to do that, we got to get out of the world, because we're in this world. I love the Apostle Paul, and I love Helen. Or you just don't know. Sorry, how much that spoke to my heart. She was reading Scripture. That's what spoke to my heart. No, just glad she was reading the Bible. No, was it 1 Corinthians 15 or something? Anyway, where the Apostle Paul said he becomes all things to all men, that he might win a few, and it just spoke volumes to my heart because that's my heart. I can take the heat. But that's my heart. That's really good. And so that really threw me off because I saw your face. I'll read this again. So he sets us apart to God and changes us into the image of Jesus. This has nothing to do with being separated from people. Holy smoke, guys. You separate yourself from people, you can't reach those people. Do you hear what I'm saying? And pick whatever your separation you've decided it is. You get what I mean? I mean, right now it's Republican, Democrat, whatever. Or just pick it. Pick your poison. You can't separate yourself from the people that God loves. And the coolest thing is, Gary and I have had a wonderful opportunity over the 800,000 years that we've been alive to see some crazy stuff happen concerning Jesus. I mean, We had a guy that was Muslim. I mean, he was diehard Muslim, owned a dry cleaning place, and just came to know Jesus, man. We got free dry cleaning out of it, too, from a Muslim. I can only love the people around me, so I'm going to be around the people around me that need it. Why should somebody hear twice about Jesus if there's somebody that hadn't heard about him once? And I'm talking about him, not our understanding of who he is. I'm talking about love. That's what I'm talking about. As corny as that sounds, that is the absolute only thing that's going to change this world. His love leaking from us into people that we don't like and or agree with. Sorry. Victory over sin. We all want this. Victory over sin depends on us yielding to his influence. We can't make ourselves holy, but staying in him, his nature does. I just want to touch on this scripture. I'll get deeply into it at some point in time before I'm dead, but let's look at this in Galatians. When you follow, this is Apostle Paul writing to the Galatian church. They were wacky, as we all are. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, in other words, if your focus is on your sinful nature and you're trying to use the grace gift of God to do your sinful, stop playing the game in your brain. Stop. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. And here we go. Let's do them. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures. Idolatry, we can just make that money because that's kind of our God. Sorcery, hostility, quarreling. Man, he's starting to nitpick now, stuff that's getting to me. Jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division. Notice he didn't say multiplication. Yeah, think about it. Verse 21, envy. He finally gets to the ones we love to hammer. Drunkenness, wild parties. And then he covers them all. And other sins like these. Let me tell you again, he says, as I have before, that anybody living that sort of life won't inherit the kingdom of God. There's your hellfire brimstone right there. Now, most of the time, that would be the time for the big old altar call. And you know, I'd do the big countdown. And people come down, and they'd bawl and squall and feel guilty and leave, and nothing changes. Because there's no power in me. But look what he finishes with. But Holy Spirit produces. What does that mean? He can't produce if you're not in him. Now, the cool thing, he's in you, you're in him. He's in you, you're in him. He produces this kind of fruit. And by the way, that word fruit in the Greek is the word karpos, and it literally means fruit. Wanted you to know that. I'm smart. Because that really is true. Because when I was using, I dig out all the time. I was trying to find some really juicy, which it is juicy, I guess. I'm trying to find something really good in there. And it's like, it means fruit. That's all it means. Okay? So there you go. So he produces this, but then you can run with fruit. Because I know when I was a child, man, my mom had, you ever had them old fake grapes and plastic big old fat green grapes that was decorative? I put decorative in, and it had those lamps that dripped oil on the little strings. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, those are worth money now. And I used to mock them, and I should have kept them. But those, I mean, they look good. They've been biggest grapes I've ever seen. Look good, but I could spray them and make them smell like a grape, I guess, and bite into them. They're hard as a rock. And we can make it look like we got fruit. But he produces this kind of fruit in us, love. Wow, love's the fruit of Holy Spirit. God is love. Elohim, get it, is love. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God Father, God Son, God the Holy Spirit. You get it. He's love. But he produces that because that's who he is. He can't produce something he... Look, I can bury a pecan seed. I ain't going to get no apples. You can't get out of something that's not already there. So... He, all of this is in you. Every one of these products are in you. You might be at a different stage. You know, you might be at the manure stage right now where he's just manuring it and trying to get it. Your life's stinking right now. Hang on, baby. There's fixing to be some growth. He's going to spread it out and make sure. Listen, there's tilling, there's pruning, there's all kinds of. Think of it, man, a tree. We always look at a tree. Man, look at the produce on that tree. Look how many apples. Yeah, but what'd that poor tree go through? Good night, clipping and snipping and snapping. And there's scripture on that too, by the way. And out of the original language where God talks about when he's talking about discipline, he's talking about that very thing. Just snipping and snapping. And he's going to snip stuff off so that you can produce more. That's why you actually do pruning. Did you know that? You prune big old branches so that you can produce more fruit. So either stop praying you want to be more like you, Jesus, because then that means the clippers are coming out. Oh, you want to be more like me? Yeah? Okay, well, here's John coming into your life for a second. Oh, great, John. Of all guys, thanks God. Never mind. I don't, you know. You give him some. John, I'm glad you sit in the front and not somebody else that would be offended. So, there you go. Love, joy. Joy is the proof. Oh, I got to be careful if I say that because that's going to sound weird. Well, here's what I was going to say, but I'll have to explain it. Joy is the proof of a sinless life. Now, when I say that, you know daggum well, we're all sinners. Joy is the proof that sin does not affect us in a lifestyle way, but affects us in a struggle way. Sin, we always will struggle, but we don't have to give into it. Joy is the proof of that. How many people have I seen that were in a lifestyle of doing dumb, and they might get happy on occasion, but there was no joy. All right? Joy is an amazing thing that Holy Spirit gives us. Joy comes at the weirdest times and in the darkest places, which is proof that it is joy. I have had more joy in dark times than I've ever had in good times. And I say that, but it might be just because in good times you don't kind of notice it as much, maybe. But man, there's been times where I'm in the darkest of dark places when this thing happens. And it's almost like when my wife gets mad at me. Every time she gets mad at me, I just go try to hold her because I know once I hold her, she won't be mad at me no more. So she'll get really mad, like right now. She's real mad, see? So I would just go see what she... I would just go here and I'd go again. She'd go, stop, stop, stop. And then she melts. That's what happens in the dark place when joy shows up. In that dark place when joy shows up, Steve's like, no, 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 no. It's amazing. Joy is an amazing commodity, if you want to call it a commodity. Peace that passes all understanding. This is the time where you're walking in peace and people think you should be in turmoil, so therefore they think that you are dealing with the problems that are in your life.
People go, you're just not dealing. I know you're going through this, this, and this. You're just not dealing with it. Oh, I'm dealing with it. You're just not dealing with the fact I'm dealing with it. Because misery loves company. Right? Sorry, I'm sitting there screaming at you, and I don't really know you. But that's okay. I'm going to scream at you anyway. See? I'm just kidding. What is your name? Have you been here several times? Have you not? Twice? Well, that's several to me. Okay. Well, thanks for coming. I see you have on your Bible open and everything. Give me some. Thank you. I need to say more. There is a deep love that God has released in you. Get away from the deserve part, okay? Here's the truth, you don't deserve it. But here's the truth, He does. So every time you think you don't deserve it, remember what I said a while ago. God looks at you, He sees Jesus, the perfect one. But I'm imperfect. Yes, you are, but He's looking at Jesus, He's not looking at the cross. All that yuck was on the cross. So those times where you feel like, listen, He's got a cool future for you. And all that thing stirring in you that you're like, no, He's like, yeah, or it wouldn't be stirring in you. Holy Spirit lives in you. You get that. So that's Him talking to you. And the other voice that's saying, you just need to tell Holy Spirit, dude, do a little advocate work right now, please. And He will. No, you're welcome, my friend. What was your name again? I forgot. Anthony, see, I don't remember. I can tell you the Cowboys the last time they won the Super Bowl and the whole score and the whole team, but I can't remember your name. So I just want you to know that I am an imperfect, perfect. I'm perfectly make perfect mistakes. All right, I'll be done here in just a second. I got to get through. Peace, peace, peace. Look, He even produces patience. I haven't got there, but He does. Kindness, kindness. What is kindness? It's so simple, but yet so difficult. Kindness, just kindness to everybody. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The word temperance. I hate the word self-control when they put that in the Bible. It's similar to self-control, but it's temperance. In other words, yourself can't be involved in Holy Spirit produce. You get what I'm saying? He produces it. So He gives you the strength to be temperate. That's a dichotomy, right? Self-control. Now, look what He says here. After He says, this is what He produces. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And there's no law against these things. And the reason there's no law against these things is because none of those things break the law. Do you get it? If you go in at 70 miles an hour and you go the speed limit 70 miles an hour, there's no law because you're going the speed limit. The only need for the law is when you break the law. I just kind of want to make sense. Verse 24, those who belong to Christ, who belong to Christ Jesus, have nailed the passions and desires of those sinful natures we were talking about upstairs to His cross and crucified them there. So since we are living by the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit's leading. You get it? Since we are living by the Spirit, let's follow His leading in every part of our lives. What does that mean? Every single day of your life, constantly remind yourself, He is in me. And those times where you are making decisions, Holy Spirit, I need some direction here, some help here. If He's quiet, don't be in a hurry. You get it. If He says something you don't like, don't shut Him down. Holy Spirit lives in me. So, I'm done. Here's what my last 3 points. Holy Spirit lives in us. Immersion into Him is available to us, and He is our power source to do life. Amen.
I want to sort of clarify the in the Holy Spirit and maybe help you with this. When you're in the grocery store and there's a kid who's screaming, you're like, who's the parent? Right? when you're in school and you go in the room, you say, oh, who's the teacher? Oh, well, he's the principal. So you go in and, you know, people are in there and they go, oh, she's the wife of Steve. Right? You following me? So then you go in and they say, well, the king said, or the president is now in the room. Right? So if I say the Holy Spirit, I am giving him the authority and I'm showing the position that he has with me. I'm identifying who I belong to, the Holy Spirit. The Lord is my shepherd. Are you with me? I am the child of God. And I want you to know something. The Holy Spirit doesn't just reside in me, but when I yield to him and recognize him as my authority, he speaks through me things that I would not, that go against my nature, because it becomes supernatural. You got a super God who's wanting to do some natural things through you that will set other people free. And the question today is, am I willing to submit and recognize that the King has sent the Spirit of God to set me free? Anybody in here today need to be set free of anything? Do you want to raise your hand with me? Anybody in here need to be set free of something? Yeah, thank you. Now what I want you to do is stand with us. And I want to tell you that there's hope. Because he's not only the Lord who's my shepherd, but he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I recognize him having that position in my life. And for those who come on Wednesday night, you've heard me say it so much. Please listen. I have to get over me to get to Jesus. That means setting aside my preconceived ideas, what I think is right and wrong, and going to the Word of God and saying, Lord, give me peace before I move forward. Because sometimes we're trying to find peace. He is the peace that passes understanding. Are you with me today? I just want to ask you, if you need something in your life to set you free, and we've admitted we do, I want us right now just to bow our heads and just to, Holy Spirit, we just release you to be who you need to be in our lives. God, there are people I know that need something because I need something. Lord, let me be accountable to you to get over me, to hear what you have to say, to confirm your word in a way that will lead me, God, beyond what I know into the position that you have waiting for me, where I will be set free and so will everyone else. Lord, I release right now. Guys, you're going to have to get in agreement with this prayer. I can't do it for you. Lord, I release right now those that I'm angry with, those who have hurt me. I release them, God, to have a work of the Spirit in their life. Father, those that I don't understand, those that I know are against your word right now, I release them from my judgment into your hands, Lord. God, I'm asking that you will send someone, Lord, with love and compassion to speak to this world. God, cleanse my heart that I can be a vessel of love and compassion. God, you know me. You know me, Lord. You'll never ask me to do it, God, if it's not in me. So I need you first, Holy Spirit. Lord, I am looking to you today for help. Speak to my heart right now, Lord. Speak to my heart right now, Lord. While the Spirit of God, the King, the Teacher, the Lawyer, the Representative, while he is moving in our life right now, I'm going to ask you, if there's a place and you're saying, Gay, today I'm going to lay that down. I want you to come right to this front And we're going to join with you in prayer, and we're going to believe for it. I'm going to let this go today. Today, I'm letting this go. Thank you. Thank you. As the word says, your faith has made you whole. Right now, I'm moving into that place. Listen, poverty cannot hold you back from excelling to the place God has for you. And I want you to know that prosperity cannot promote you to the place God has for you. God is the giver of life and death. He's the giver of wealth. He's the giver of poverty, because He knows what we can handle. And God wants to set us free from the mindsets of who I have to be into who He's called us to be. God is setting you free today from a mindset. Come right now. He's moving in your heart and in your life. I want those who know how to pray, these who are moving here today, guys, we've got to get out of the mindsets that the devil is greater than God. I'm asking you right now to stop looking for somebody to cast a demon out of you. If the Holy Spirit comes in me, the demon's going to jump out because he can't stay. Call out on God. Don't give the enemy more credit than we're giving God. Those of you who know how to pray, I want you to come right now. There are people here who are needing you to touch and pray with them. We've still got people here that need to be prayed with. Yes, we're going to believe God right now, because He is setting us free of me so I can accept who He is. For all of you who are still standing, I want to pray a prayer of faith over you before we begin to pray with these. Lord, I'm asking today that You would break off our thinking of how to make something happen and relinquish to You the throne of our hearts, that You will instead be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords over everything that concerns us. I'm asking today, God, that the minute we leave this building, when we second guess and doubt what You've done in our lives through the reading of the Word, through the hearing of the Spirit, through the praise and worship, Lord, that we will no longer discount the fact that nothing is impossible to You. That the people in this room, God, will begin to believe what You say we are is who we are, and that we can have what You say we can have. I thank You, Lord, that the spirit of joy is going to dance over every car in that parking lot. I thank You, God, that the angels are singing in our homes and moving out the spirit of fear and doubt. I thank You, God, that over every doctor's report, there's the report of the Lord that it's filtered through. God, that we will receive what You have said we can have and no longer limit ourselves to what our understanding is, but see possibility because of You. Lift your hands right now and begin to say, I want that, God. I believe for this, God. Right now, I am healed through the power of Jesus Christ. My mind was able to receive truth, and it will adhere to my spirit. I thank You right now, God. Thank You right now, Lord, for setting us free. Move us, oh God, into the places that You have for us today, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Father God. We're just going to take our time and pray, and if you're done praying, I release you today. If there's more that you need, Mike, I want you just to lead us right now, believing that God accepts where you're at this altar is just as much worship as any other thing you're going to do. Surrender today, guys. Surrender, because when you surrender, you got the victory. Amen.
And I trust You with everything that I hold dear. You are my King. You are the perfect teacher. You are my Lord. You're everything I need, and I trust You with everything that I hold dear. are my King. You are the perfect teacher. You are my Lord. And you're everything I need. And I trust you with everything that I hold dear. Oh, you are my King, and you are the perfect teacher. You are my Lord, and you're everything I need. And I trust you with everything that I hold dear.